Welcome to NavyBMR.com, where we hope to advance your careers. NavyBMR.com is an unofficial website, shall not claim to be, nor should it be assumed to be affiliated with the United States government, Department of Defense, or the United States Navy. Information contained herein is unclassified and is for reference and education only, shall not be considered official policy or directive. Hello, welcome again to NavyBMR.com. My name is Steve, I'll be your instructor today. Today we're going to be talking about Navy Education 14295 Bravo, specifically Chapter 13, Nutrition and Dietary Therapies. Now this is something that we've kind of touched on a little bit here and there throughout this manual. But what we're really going to kind of focus on is minimal instructions and a little bit about the different types of diet stuff, some of the stuff to touch on. Again, this is not going to be a nutrition class. Like our anatomy and physiology, like I stressed there, I highly encourage you to check out official or more formal training in nutrition to become a better medical professional. And especially if that's something you have an interest in, I highly encourage you to pursue those interests. But what we're going to focus on here is what you need to kind of highlight as you study all the material that you're trying to get through on the way to success for your Navy-wide advancement exam. So we're going to start off, we got one instruction we're thinking about. So when we think about nutrition, we're talking about trying to stay fit, we're trying to make sure we have the right body composition. A lot of that's going to tie into our physical readiness. So we're going to think about our OPNAV 6110.1, okay? OPNAV 6110.1. I'd like, when you got all these different instructions, OPNAV to be operationally ready, you got to be physically ready. There's something there to kind of help remember which one. So when you're starting to look at all these instructions, if you see OPNAV versus a SECNAV instruction or a BUMED instruction, something along those lines, it'll help eliminate some of those answers. So we have an OPNAV instruction, 6110.1. All right, that's our physical fitness assessment. Now, talking about like a BMI, all right, everyone knows when we're doing, when you're CFL, all right, or if you are a CFL, I highly encourage you, if you've got questions on how to calculate BMI or just to kind of ask some questions on it, reach out to your CFL. Maybe have them run you through a mock one, ask questions, kind of help get that hands-on and that personal time where you're not maybe stressed about your own or trying to make sure your sailors are ready for theirs. It's just a learning time. It's going to kind of help sink that in. Some numbers for us, BMI of 18.5 would be kind of underweight. We're going to kind of think a 25 to 29.9. is going to be that overweight, and then anything over that, it's going to be obese. So if we're at 30 and over, that's going to be calculated as obese. Now there is a chart that we have right here, and this chart I pulled straight out of the chapter, so you have this as well. All I did was copy paste and blew it up for you. So another quick reference thing that while you're if you want to teach your junior sailors, if you're trying to reference this on your own, maybe flashcards or something, you're able to kind of chop this up, and I highly encourage that kind of stuff as well. So going back, again, water. So we know there's a whole big thing in there about why water is so important. Well, you know this. If you've been around the Navy and the Marine Corps enough as a corpsman, the biggest thing as corpsman we tell everybody is hydrate. If they're working out on the decks, if they're working in the field with the Marines, you got Seabees that are sitting there building stuff out in the sun all day. You got someone at a schoolhouse environment, whether it be special war or whatever, warfare or whatever it may be. You're always telling them to pound water, and eventually kind of will lead into some of this nutrition stuff. So we know that water is the most important thing. If we don't have it for 3 days, we can die. Your body starts to break down. Your body uses it as fuel to perform all of its functions with its metabolism, all the chemical reactions and everything. Your muscles, everything strives on water. I can't stress that enough. You know that, so we can move on. A couple numbers, though. Our baseline, you could think 3.7 for male and 2.7 liters for female. It's a baseline at rest, and we know that working out or in strenuous work environments, that is going to increase based on the amount of sweating and everything else that we're going to be putting out, all the muscles, right, that fuel. So We're going to want to kind of monitor that. But there's also, we know, water toxicity. So a number for that, water toxicity, we're thinking over 8 liters. So keep that in mind. So over 8, you're possibly looking at water toxicity levels in your body. And another number for you, your body is 60% water. Okay, so you know water is important. Those are just a few small numbers maybe to kind of hone in on in case you see this. I would expect to see some of this kind of stuff on your maybe your third class exam. And you're going to see more instruction stuff as you move up. So those of you testing for maybe second, first, definitely if you're testing for chief, I would expect to see more instructions, more preventative kind of measures, everything you're going to see in that. So just like our responsibility grows and the expectations of that knowledge grows as we move up in rank and move up in responsibility and everything within the Navy, our advancement exams are kind of geared to trend that way as well. So kind of keep that in mind as you're building up on this. Now, a couple of pieces here that we're going to just kind of highlight as we talk about the nutrition. I would just make sure you kind of run through and have an idea as to the fiber, carbohydrates, your starches, understand what's kind of coming from plants, how's your body using some of these for fuel, for instance, like your fats. Fats going to be kind of used for energy. Different types of fats are going to be better for those kind of energy reserves, if you would, than others. So I would kind of just look through those. Again, a nutrition class is something where you'll get more into depth than that. If you work in certain sections of a clinic or a hospital, you may be exposed to more of that. You may have a dietitian nearby that you can do some classes and training with. But by and large, you're not going to necessarily see a lot of this on an advancement exam specifically. But if you have an understanding of it, this segues into a lot of the other parts of our basic medical professionalism and understanding of the body and a lot of the processes that we have. Understanding proteins, the biggest thing comes from animals. You may understand like the milk, eggs, or dairy products, things of that nature. The fats, like I said, is energy. So you're thinking 20 to 35% of your caloric intake is going to be from fats. Just again, I would just go through an overview of these and have an understanding and how they segue. Getting into the exact minute details for advancement exam purposes, I would bet that you're not going to need to know those tiny little numbers as much. So you can kind of breeze over. Again, make sure you have that understanding of it so that you can move on to the next thing. Because we all know how cumbersome the bib is. There's so much material to get through. So we're trying to condense this so we can maximize that success rate for you. Now, another thing that I would make sure you have a good understanding on, and you may want to look into the, you're going to want to look at the types of patients. You're going to want to understand why the types of patients. Understanding why versus trying to just memorize the black and white words is going to help you use those critical thinking skills on your advancement exam. This is a really short chapter by and large, so you should be able to kind of really condense this stuff down for your understanding. But the different types of dietary programs we can put someone on. So if we have a residue, fiber-restricted kind of diet, we're thinking about the increased stool volume. Okay, so fiber, we know you have these little fiber one bars. If someone needs to try to become more regular or something, residue is going to, you're kind of thinking more along the lines of in the colon and everything, that movement along the inside. And the movement of your stool. So increased stool volume is going to be your residue and your fiber restricted. Whereas think about your protein restricted, you're thinking more about some sort of renal disease. Okay, so those of you that are working maybe in some sort of geriatric, you may have somebody that a family member, right, a dependent that someone has brought in that may have a medical condition. By and large, we don't see a lot of renal problems, by and large, with healthy current service members. They do exist. But again, some of the medical conditions that you maybe get quizzed on, the average healthy sailor or Marine does not experience those medical conditions while they're currently in the service. Otherwise, they wouldn't be fit for full duty. So that you may not see that a lot out in the fleet, but that's just something to be aware of. Is a protein restricted? That's very common, again, with that renal disease. A calorie restricted. So that's going to be for that gradual weight loss. So we see that there's lots of surgeries out there. There's a lot of procedures for rapid weight loss, which depending on the patient, depending on the condition, maybe that's what they need. But we're going to consider a calorie restricted diet is going to be that nice gradual building block step to weight loss, more of a healthy progression. It's usually going to be someone more stable, someone with more self-control, if you would. So something to kind of keep in mind on that. That's going to be very calorie counting. It's going to be very balanced meals. It's going to be a very controlled, very restricted plan for them to follow for that one, okay? And your parade is going to be for like your stroke, all right? Your elderly, mentally disabled. It's essentially baby food, right? So you're going to sit there, they're going to get it blended or they're going to get it mashed. It's going to be something where we don't have to worry about their airway compromise, but they're still getting the nutrients, the vitamins, the fats, the calories, everything their body is still needing while they either recover or while we get them rehabbed to vacate the medical facility and go back home with their family. And the last two things for nutrition, for plans, okay, so we're thinking about what we can do if someone does not have the ability to eat on their own. So we think maybe some sort of significant trauma patient that we have from OCONUS. IEDs and everything have caused significant trauma to service members' bodies. Sailors and Marines have had to recover with like a G-tube or a J-tube or something. So understanding the NG, the ND, the NJ, J, and G-tubes, just look over those, understand what they are. Highly encourage you to maybe go to the clinic or go to the MTF and maybe ask just to look at it and just get a visual, get an understanding of what they are. You get your hands on these things, I promise you, you've got a better understanding of what they are and how they're working. You can kind of see the limits and the restrictions or the capabilities that they have, understanding how often they get changed out. Those kind of things, often like ICU, you may see these a lot. And, so that's just something to kind of keep in mind. This is going to be external nutrition plans. So external, the food source is coming from outside, and it's going to be fed to them via these tubes. So something, if you can get your hands on these, if you can get some sort of visual on, excuse me, of these being utilized, it's going to help sink that in. All right, and then we got one more, and it's if you were using, it's very rare, and it's very extreme. It's as if you're getting it via IV. It's a blended cocktail, if you would. It's going to be helping feed those nutrients to you. Okay. This nutrition plan is not something you're going to see very often, but if you find yourself in a unique clinical situation where you can observe this or facilitate this, definitely share that with other sailors. If they're not around, definitely share that experience or what you learned. Again, getting in groups, kind of taking this stuff together, getting hands-on and networking outside, like I say that in all these videos, is going to definitely help you out, and it's going to definitely strengthen that knowledge together. And teaching is just another form of helping sink that in your own head. So I know that this was a relatively short chapter. Again, you're going to see a lot of maybe the specifics on the nutrition, again, in that kind of third class exam. As you move up, you're thinking more along the lines of the preventative natures. You're going to maybe think more along the lines of the types of diet plans, of the tubes, maybe when they're getting changed out. But I would not necessarily think you need to hone in on the specific tiny numbers on each type of mineral, vitamin, fat, any of that. So that instruction is going to cover a lot of that stuff, and definitely those higher ranking tests. Please pay attention to that, read through that, and then just make sure you have a good overview. So again, I highly encourage you, check out NavyBMR.com. Check out our resources we have. We have practice tests and quizzes. We have audio files. We have a lot of resources in there for you to tap into. I'd love to hear what you you have to say about our videos. And again, my name is Steve with NavyBMR.com, and I'll see you next time.